Welcome to a new episode of All Consumed, the world's finest podcast created by the two guys sitting at this table. Anyway, at the same time, where is this name? And I'm Chris Osborne.
He's Chris Osborne.
And I'm here with Neil Davey.
And I'm Neil Davey.
Patriot. And Neil, where is this
table? We're at some...
underneath the train.
Yeah, right underneath the train as we've started talking. We are, well, I guess it's sort of the back of Flatiron Square. We are sitting outside Spring Street Pizza.
Which has been
on our list for a little while.
Yeah.
So it's a guy called Tom Kemble.
He's
got a
Michelin
stars under his belt with the likes of Favicon and Hedoni and Bonhams. And this is apparently his, I just looked it up, this is his tribute to the iconic pizzerias of New York. All I can say was it was flipping delicious.
Oh, we had a great pizza. What do we have?
Really great. It was a half. They're all 18 inches. Yeah, all 18 inch pizzas. They do it as a half and half. We did half margarita, half New Yorker. So it was about... Pepperoni, hot honey.
Yes, dear.
Yes.
Yes, you are, dear.
Crying on a really interesting kind of crispy
Very crisp, very crunchy. Yeah.
It was, really good.
Nice aioli dip at the end there.
Yeah, a little. Yeah, the whole crust dipper thing.
Which, Five Points Brewing lager went down well.
That went
with
down
it.
Very well. It's just nicely done. I mean, the whole Flatiron Square area's got some really great stuff. It's next door to Bar Duro, which is fantastic.
Bar Duro's fantastic, actually, yeah. I haven't been there in ages.
And there's also Herd, which is another Michelin star chef doing burgers.
All right, okay.
The name of whom escapes me, but we should possibly give that a go. I went in its very early days, and it was okay, but it felt like it was feeling its way, and I now keep seeing lots of people absolutely raving about the place. So we should maybe add that to a future.
Yeah, I'd love to go back to Bar Duro as well.
Yeah.
They have locations in the city, actually, pretty close to Liverpool Street.
Yeah, oh, excellent.
I haven't been there at all, but I've gone by it a lot of times.
It's just nice. They just do a very, very good job. But yeah, this was great.
Yeah, that was really good pizza.
And it's only a couple of weeks since we last spoke. So what have you been a busy, busy man.
Yeah, busy here and around. So we just had a very nicely made pizza, which reminds me of a film, short film I recently saw, which is called Things Made Well, produced by Iron and Glass. And I saw it as part of the Morris Mania exhibition at the William Morris Gallery. I'll talk more about the exhibition in a moment. But I was really drawn to this video, which is on YouTube, Things Made Well by Iron and Glass.
Okay.
It's just that. It's artisans and craftspeople making things well. And some things you might take for granted, such as a coffee cup or a key ring, a rug, neon from God's Own Junkyard in Walthamstow, wallpaper, and just doing it, you know, and seeming to enjoy manufacturing things, making things by hand, doing things, what you might say, the hard way. And it goes back to the William Morris, designer actually from Walthamstow. Oh. The house where he was born is now a gallery there.
Of course, yeah, we did the cafe. The Scottish guys, the Haggis Toasties.
Yes, and their name is escaping me now. It'll come back before the end of the episode. But anyway, and they do Toasties.
Of course, yes,
well.
I forgot that. I forgot the Walthamstow collection, yeah.
But I think I am paraphrasing here, but there is a quote by William Morris about only do something if you can make it beautiful and don't make someone labor unless there's dignity involved in it. Okay, so there you go. And that's what this one is all about. And for those unfamiliar with William Morris, the galleries are just a great free place to go anytime, but particularly while this exhibition is on, and it runs until, I think, 21st September 2025. Morris Mania, just about how his designs and ethos just really hit the world. If you've ever been to Liberty in Soho, you get a sense of his style. The wallpaper and some of the other things there are William Morris designs.
He's one of those designers where, as you say,
whether or not you know him, you know him.
You know him, yeah. There is a ubiquitous quality to a lot of William Morris designs.
In fact, another interesting part, another video that was part of this exhibition was this just stream of clips from all sorts of films, from like early days of cinema to the last 10 years. Nothing in common except the background was William Morris wallpaper. It's like, love whether it. That was like some like love British that. Drama from the 40s or like a gangster movie from the past 5-10 years, you just see how it's just infused in everything. And so just, yeah, Morris Mania at the William Morris Gallery. Excellent, excellent show. Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
It's kind of weird to think that until one person comes along that, yeah, wallpaper presumably wasn't particularly patterned or designed in any way. And then suddenly,
so, yeah, oh, yeah.
You know what we could do on these things? That, yeah. You know, brighten the place up a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of things made well, brighten the place up. Yeah. Nice things to do in London. You've been,
oh man, yeah,
it's enjoying been a, yourself in town.
I have. It's been a mad little. Well, summer's just such a strange time. Trying to sort of kick off anything kind of work related and stuff. The people you need to speak to, someone's away. The next person you need to speak to, they're away. Then you're away. What have kind of put late July to the end of August. Everything is a bit on the back burner.
Uh huh.
Just little catch ups with people where I can. Which, and this week is basically sort of equaled quite a lot of eating. Got taken, which is the best way to do this place, to Dorian.
Okay.
In Notting Hill.
Fancy.
It's very approachable. It's very slick, very stylish. It's incredibly spendy.
Spendy.
Really, really spendy. And one of the most delicious steaks I've ever had in my life.
Uh-huh.
But it was 175 quid worth of T-bone.
Oh, I got it.
It's all aged dairy cattle. The cooking is, from what I can gather, pretty much like straight into the coals. It's really, really charred on either side and then taken out and rested. So you get this amazing sense of char. It's kind of glazed in butter and beef fat. Could literally cut the thing with a fork. It was incredibly tender, absolutely delicious. But it's not every day. And there's an awful lot of things with caviar lumped on the top of them.
No.
Like a scoop of pistachio ice cream. Again, absolutely.
With caviar.
Absolutely
what
delicious.
Is that like?
It's delicious. In a kind of salted caramelly, kind of sweet, savory combo.
Umami
kind of way. Yeah.
Going on with
yeah.
it. So there's a lot of nice, so it just stays with you. Nice,
really
green.
Really, really nice. But again, that was the 39 quid dessert. If you are in the hospitality industry, thanks to, I think it's the Code app, you get 50% off on a Monday lunchtime. And I was there with a couple of people I'm doing some work with. So that was, it was research.
Nice.
So
we can
write it off on that score. Oh, it's magnificent. I mean, there are a couple of things, and we talked before we press record.
Uh-huh.
You were saying, but the joys of simple produce. My wife and I have an allotment. I'm sure I've mentioned this in the past. We're in the part of the year where tomatoes and cucumbers and courgettes and stuff is just kind of free flowing.
Yeah.
So finding things to do, but it's great produce, so you don't have to do a lot to it. And you were talking about like a peach and tomato salad.
Really nice peach and tomato salad recently.
Peach
some basil,
and, yeah.
Olive oil.
Peach is a brilliant, brilliant thing too. And but there was a blood peach salad they did there with, that was delicious. The peaches were delicious, the sauce was delicious. And it was tossed through with these little baby aubergines that didn't so much not add to the dish. They actually took away from
right,
the dish.
Yeah.
Really odd, kind of slightly soggy.
Uh-huh.
I have no idea why this is a thing. So is it bold? Not sure it was always successful.
Oh.
But the good things, very, very good.
Great, yeah.
But you are paying for them somewhat. In
okay.
a slightly more approachable style. I returned to the Draper's Arms the other Sunday.
Okay.
For a Sunday lunch there. That's Nick Gibson's pub. It's still kicking around in that Estrella Damm top 50 gastro pubs. It's usually somewhere within the top 100. It's in the top 50 at the moment. Hadn't been for a while. Stalwart place. Absolutely simple, straightforward, great value.
Is that right?
Really good. Did the beef, they suggested for 2 to 3 to share. 4 of us couldn't really make a dent.
Oh, my goodness.
very generous, great wine list at all price levels. Brilliant service, lovely room. heartily recommend. And also, from a more value perspective, did the Little Noodle Bar.
The Little Noodle Bar.
Which was, I've never been to the Peninsula Hotel.
How little are
their
noodles?
The noodles were fairly, it was fairly normal size from what I could tell. The bar itself is quite compact. It's underneath something called Canton Blue, which is at the Peninsula Hotel.
Uh-huh.
Very smart, very shishi Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Got shown around the room. It is absolutely stunning, beautiful. But there's a nice little bar downstairs where they've got a simple sort of choice of like sort of four different noodle dishes. A plate of noodles and a beer, mostly from a brewery called Guelo,
okay,
who I've not come across before, but will seek out because it was delicious. So a pint of good beer and a plate of very, very good noodles for 20 quid.
What?
Which for something in the Peninsula Hotel.
Yeah, we're over there in, Hyde Park Corner.
Yeah.
I've been to the Peninsula in Beijing.
Yeah.
I had their Beijing duck menu there, man. Incredible. That was a long time ago.
So I thought, I mean, in terms of value, I think 20 quid for that level of food in that setting, pretty damn good by London
nice
standards.
So yeah, a bit of ducks.
Oh god, yes. Oh gosh, yes. I nearly must. This is one of those moments where you now can't recreate this at all. For the last month, we're recording this on the 2nd of August somehow. So through July, at dinner, Heston Blumenthal's restaurant, the Mandarin Oriental, they have been celebrating the 30th anniversary, remarkably, of the Fat Duck, the fantastically eccentric three-star restaurant that gave Heston his fame. So it's been a little tasting menu of celebrated dishes from the Fat Duck's history. And it was glorious.
Oh.
Very, very nicely done. Very nicely executed. It included the famous snail porridge. So I got to try for the first time.
That's real slow food.
Was it?
Very good. Come out
see
your
what you did
for
there.
That one, no?
See what you did there. Which is terrific. They also give you three options when you sit down. They give you three cards and a little card holder on the table. So you choose. It's the adventurer, the maverick. I thought I'd written those down somewhere. And the guide was the other one. And it gives you, you're given the opportunity. If you go maverick, they tell you the full story behind the dish. When they present the dish. With the guide, they give you a little bit of history. And the adventurer is they just give you the food and bugger off, basically. So your level of interaction with the front of house team depends on. So if you want to be left alone, you can be.
Adventure.
If you want to know the full story, which in this instance, you want to know what led to the pairing of scallop and white chocolate, or why snail porridge? Fascinating insight. I know they didn't get to do a lot of the dishes they really wanted to do, which are very proprietary to the Fat Duck in Bray. But phenomenal stuff, really interesting. I think the dinner are quite good in terms of there's always something fun going on, and there's often interesting little collaborations and little events. And for that, again, that level of cooking, the level is very kind of the curiosity value. Again, not an everyday thing, going to stress it, it's not. But special occasion, once in a while, much like Dorian. Particularly if somebody else is paying.
Okay, I'll go along with that.
Absolutely worthwhile. No, fascinating, delicious. And again, I think that's the other thing that really came across. So much is written about Heston Blumenthal the eccentricity and the bizarre things and bizarre combinations of flavors and whatever else. At the end of the day, he's trying to make things delicious.
Yeah.
And
it's a long time since I've had his food, but he does.
And they are delicious.
Yeah.
So for all the witticisms and the creativity and the bizarre nature of it, it does taste good.
Tasty food.
So that's... Yeah. And it was a very, very nice, very enjoyable lunch. Again, great front of house. Nice. Terrific stuff. But yes, that's me for the time being.
All right.
But,
well, by the way, Neil, that cafe at the William Morris Gallery is Deanie's.
That's the boy.
Yes.
How can we forget?
And really good toasties there, particularly the really haggis toasty. Speaking of haggis, I've had more than my typical share up in Scotland. I was up there for about a week, kind of used Edinburgh as a base for a little while and Inverness as a Highlands base. My niece is visiting from the States, and she wanted to go up there, and I thought it was a great opportunity to go with her because I love that part of the world.
Likewise, Edinburgh,
just a fantastic city. I mean, it's a bit of a tourist conveyor belt, probably even worse now that it's August. This was the end of July.
Yeah, so you're pre-fringe.
Yeah, we were pre-fringe, but still, just tons of people, but still worth it. And also, just to be with someone who really didn't know Edinburgh, never been there, didn't have an anticipation. We take the tram from the airport. She steps out on Princess Street. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
every city center should have a castle.
Yes. On a precipice. Yeah. And then if you look in the other direction, you got Arthur's Seat.
Then
we go, really nice restaurant. I don't have to mention them, but we had a nice meal that night. And then we had to wait about 15 minutes for a table. So we walk up to the Royal Mile and again go through this tiny little close and But what I would like to mention is the Surgeon's Hall. Surgeon's Hall Museums in Edinburgh. I think it's part of one of the university there. Mm-hmm. But they have this 19th century pathology collection, some newer stuff since then.
It's a long time since I've been, but I remember it being kind of, discover sphincters I didn't know I had.
Yeah, yeah. So lots of glands and organs and eyeballs and things and formaldehyde from a long time ago and somewhat more recently. Skeletons of people with maybe scoliosis, things like that. Very tastefully done in the pursuit of science. There is a bit of spectacle involved where you're just like, whoa. A little bit gruesome too, and I even felt a little queasy. I had to sit down for a moment. But just fascinating, a beautiful, I don't know if you, as grotesque as some of this stuff sounds, it's so beautifully placed in this beautiful gallery. It's incredible. That's the main draw and a huge part of this museum, the Surgeons Hall Museums. But also they have a history of surgery, which again, you know, you see like these old tools that look like what your carpenter's going to bring, all the way up to like modern, to do a task rabbit gig, to robotics and everything. You can even play around with robotics and try to paint like a picture and things with the same things that surgeons are using for non-invasive surgery, things like that. It was really, really fascinating place. I love it. Okay. Nothing else I mentioned is going to be quite as gruesome as that, though. Much less gruesome was the blueberry Danish I had at the Milkman. No secret here. Very popular coffee shop in Edinburgh, just down from the Royal Mile. But great coffee there. But I just really liked their blueberry Danish. This was just heaving with blueberries. Just they're about to like just fall off, but they managed to stay on while I ate it, and it was really good.
Yes, heaving with blueberries, something you nearly did at the museum. Yes,
so
there's a lot of good baking in Edinburgh.
Yes,
actually,
yes. Yeah. We ate well there, and in Inverness.
Inverness is a really underrated little city, I think.
I love it. I once strongly considered moving there. Okay. I think I could live there because you're there, you've got nature, but it is a city. I think I need a city. It could be a small city, but I think I need a city. But anyway, great cafe in Inverness. It's Birch Cafe. I really want to big this place up. Service was so nice. Coffee was great. Nice pastries, cookies, things made there. But just there's another cafe in Inverness that maybe has a little greater command of social media and just seems to be like a darling kind of place in town. Great, good coffee. Had a good pastry there as well, but customer service was a little And I intended to try somewhere else. I was there for a few nights. So the next day I went to Birch. So much more pleasant. The coffee was better. Pastries just tasted like they're made with a little more love. Service was amazing. Such a lovely person talking to us as she was doing all these other things. But, you know, attentive to us and kind to us. Went back the next day, asked her, oh, she remembered us. Talked to her about what we were planning to do. She gave us a little, that's awesome, you're going to love it. But by the way, a little hidden gem, something not everybody knows about is this. While still just performing all the barista and
that's what you want. That.
Just
that's
really,
what you
really,
want.
Really cool. Birch Cafe.
Good. I think, having listened to a few of these back recently, I find myself talking about front of house more and more and more.
Yeah.
I think there's an awful lot of really, really good cooking kind of across the board.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's really setting places apart is the service. And that, so the friendly stuff, the reliability, somebody remembering you once you go back a couple of times. Makes a big
difference.
It was so
nice. Made a huge difference.
A big difference.
You know, I think she essentially got an idea of just why we were there, what we were doing. It just, it felt like a nice, significant part of the trip. Another reason I love Inverness is the Ness Islands, which if you're walking along, Inverness is right on the Ness River, okay? You go one end, you got the Moray Firth, the sea, essentially. You go the other end, you've got the Loch Ness. And if you're walking toward Loch Ness, it's quite a walk, but if you're going in the direction of Loch Ness, beautiful, lovely, and eventually you get to this little Ness Islands Park, which... in my mind, it's like the perfect sort of blend of manicured and wilderness. And you do go to these little islands in the middle of the river. There's these little fairy tale half moon bridges to cross and everything. And it's just really pleasant. It's so nice. I think the past few times I've been to Inverness, I've made a point of going there at least once as sort of like a walk after dinner or when I first get up, things like that. Such a treat. And if you were to keep going, Loch Ness is one of the most phenomenal places I've ever seen.
We were coming back from the Hebrides last year. We did a night in Inverness, but then had to push on fairly early, so didn't do the park. Did skirt Loch Ness. I have been to Loch Ness a couple of times before. It is astonishing. It is jaw dropping. The number of, I always find with Scotland in particular that if you're driving through Scotland, you'll hit a piece of scenery and kind of pull into a car park and get your phone out, get your camera out and go, this is the most beautiful thing I have ever seen in my life. And take photos. And then 20 minutes further up the road, you'll do it again. Go, no, this.
Yeah.
This is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. And I think you could probably do, you could do that however many days it would take you to skirt.
Yes. There's a lot
you'd
of that,
that every
on
10
this
minutes.
Trip. Okay. By train and by car. I drove up to Isle of Skye, which is an amazing place. But I don't know if Loch Ness is the most beautiful, but it's just something there. It's like,
ooh, yeah.
You know,
there's something powerful.
I have a physical reaction to it. Yeah. Like I feel in my gut and my soul. And maybe most of all, just along the northern shore, there's the Dores Beach. It's just a fantastic walk along the beach into the forest. Rather accessible, but you feel like at a moment, boom, it's just you and nature, and nature has a force. And so I just really, really loved being there. And when my niece said she wanted to visit Scotland, I was like, oh, great. I get to show her Loch Ness and show her something that's meant a lot to me a number of times when I've been up there.
Yeah.
Also, in that general area, we went to the Mynlochy Clwyty Well on the Black Isle. Now, a Clwyty Well, this is an old Celtic tradition. Basically, there's a natural source of water, like spring. And traditionally, people thought if you left like a strip of your garment tied on a tree next to one of these healing wells or sources of water, you could heal or get over an illness or whatever, however you were suffering. So you go there,
nice,
beautiful
nice
little
old, nice little bit of folklore,
spring.
What we like.
And the little hill, and if you sort of go up this sort of little trail along the hill, just every branch, every trunk is just covered with scraps of clothing and everything.
Lots of naked Scots people running around, limping, hoping they get better. Yeah.
Wondering why they're chafed. But anyway, so that was nice. And then just on the other side of the car park to the Clwyty Well, was just a really, really nice nature walk. It just felt nice. You could see how that little spring turned into a river and got bigger and bigger. It just I think pleasant, man.
I think what you said earlier about the mix of wilderness and manicured, and I think there's an awful lot of Scotland, and I guess Loch Ness is something like that, because there are car parks and there are bed and breakfasts and lovely houses and things, and you just go, oh no, there is civilization, there is stuff here.
Yeah.
And then within a fraction of a minute, that's out of sight, and it's forest nature, and just incredible sort of the vast expanse of that water as an inland thing is quite
it's not the only
and there's so many bits of Scotland, and I think it is that combination of go this way, and surrounded by people, and go the other way 30 seconds later you could be the only person on the planet.
So nice.
Yeah.
You been anywhere outside London?
We did. Yeah, we ventured up to Hitchin, of all places. Many, many years ago, in my blogging days, I had a very random email from a lady who lived in Hitchin, inviting me to Hitchin for the day. Because it had a burgeoning food scene and some interesting stuff going on. And did actually go up for the day, and she was absolutely right. A lady called Kirsty Favell. The nice thing about it turned out it was about 14 years ago. I haven't got back in touch with her since this invitation. But there's a gastropub called The Cock in the centre of Hitchin. The building's something like 450 years old. They've just brought in a chef called Alex Corley, who's formerly Savoy Grill. One of his former colleagues, a guy called Adam Masetfi, is taking over front of house. We were there for the it was only their fourth service.
All right, wow.
So very early on, little sort of test run. They were opening officially the following day. Very nice menu, some really good snacks, some really like sort of four starters, four main courses, four desserts, handful of bar snacks, good drinks list, really enthusiastic young staff who were going to get better and better. Excuse me. Lovely pub, lovely setting, very, very good food, and some really nice mix of kind of conventional kind of pub grub.
Okay.
Very recognizable. We had sort of slow cooked beef or pulled beef donuts as a snack. Lovely little tartlet of was it spring onion, Lincolnshire poacher, and Jersey Royals.
I'm big on the flavors there.
Big celebration of local produce. Very, very good indeed. I think over the next few months, they're only going to get better. They're already at a very, very high level.
Okay.
Absolutely worth it. Hitchin's at 30, 40 minutes out of King's Cross by train. Very easy commute.
This is not the first time people have mentioned yummy food in Hitchin.
There's also a fried chicken place called Chicken George, which my godson has raved about for a long, long time. And I wasn't there in time to pop in, but I know I am going to have to go back for that. But it's a lovely city, very, very pleasing. I think I hinted at it last time we spoke. We were after my Somerset trip, had a day in Glastonbury, which I'd never been to Glastonbury before. Glastonbury is exactly what you think Glastonbury is going to be like. There's a restaurant there called the Queen of Cups, obviously named after the tarot card. It's a British Jordanian female chef called Aisha Kalaji.
Okay.
So it's Jordanian influenced food with a lot of British ingredients. Absolutely delicious, really great cooking, phenomenal stuff. It still serves as a pub. Again, they're on the Estrella Damm gastro pub list as well. On a Sunday, they don't do food, they just open as a pub. There are people that come in and just use the bar.
Uh-huh.
17th century coaching in, but some seriously, seriously great cooking.
Wow.
As Aisha pointed out, the joys of Glastonbury are, at any given time, she could go out and buy a book of spells, a robe and a wand, but she can't buy knickers. There are no conventional shops.
Yeah.
But you can go and buy, I love potion and any sort of aromatherapy thing you need. Yeah, and probably a fossilized toad or something. We stopped to have a coffee, and the people next to us were discussing animal Reiki. There was a guy reading people's animal energies.
Wait, are they giving Reiki to animals, or the animals are providing Reiki?
They were going to be giving Reiki to animals.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's
pretty good for people who have allergies, but still want to pet animals.
Just 2 inches above the. Yeah. Mm, how lovely. Oh. Yes. Would you even need the dog? Would it even need to be in the same room?
Not necessarily, I guess.
So it was. Yeah, it was absolutely fascinating. But the food. Between the Cups alone is worth the journey to Glastonbury. Aisha was on Great British Menu this year. Okay. Someone is clearly going places. She's also doing something at Caldese in Marylebone in September.
All right.
Doing a little talk and I think some of her food there as well. Seriously, seriously good. Great cooking. Very approachable. Utterly delicious.
Whoa.
Some really, really clever stuff.
All right.
If you're ever in the area.
Yeah. Well, it sounds fantastic. Neil, speaking of people going places.
Oh, this is,
Food
and travel. Yeah. So it's been
something you've been working on,
it's
right?
It's been a long time coming. Yeah, a couple of years ago, started work with a TV production company.
Uh-huh.
Helping them with some food and travel shows. The biggest one of those was a show called Billy and Dom Eat the World, which seen Billy Boyd and Dom Monaghan, who were Pippin and Merry.
Hobbits.
The Hobbits in The Lord of the Rings. So we sent them around different places to get to the heart of a culture through the food and the people. And I'm delighted to say it's been shown on TV in Canada, Hong Kong and Australia. But as of yesterday, 1st of August, it is now streaming. All 8 episodes are streaming on Amazon Prime in the UK and the US. It's my first TV credit. I'm inordinately proud to have been part of it. They're lovely guys. The show's good fun. No fake tension, no sense of peril, none of the sort of the hideous bollocks that
nice
infest lots
between
of
them.
They are closer than brothers. They met on set. They've been that we have footage of they feed each other. They hang out at least once a week. Back in LA where they both live now. Lovely guys, genuine people, and I think that really comes across. So fantastic. So congratulations to all involved. And it's one of those, it's very, very nice after 2 years that it is finally can actually say to people, oh look, I was involved in this. I helped make that.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right,
it's a bit of fun. So I think that is me done. I'm also gonna go home and I'm gonna go wander around random TVs in department stores and switch them to Billy and Dom Eat the World. Possibly just freeze frame it on the end credits. Where can we track you?
Let's see here. I guess the best thing for me is just to mention the All Consumed Pod Instagram and just the site, allconsumedpod.com. And we got a lot of episodes and some of the things we mentioned today,
we've been a few throwbacks, which is
throwbacks,
nice.
So years of throwbacks for folks. So check us out.
Yeah.
And Neil, how about you?
For me, somewhere underneath us, round about now, is you can hear our theme tune, which is The Year Was Strange by E-Nub. And while that's playing in the background, I'm pretty much just on Instagram these days at Dinehard. Keep looking at other bits of social media, and they never really seem to engage or stick like they used to. But still playing away with Instagram for the time.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot, man. That was a nice show.
Cheers, man. Always a pleasure.
All right. Good.